Everyone get out your... Everybody get your blue book, turn to number 179. 179. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to have me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving fire. Hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy, that in sing redemption song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. For onward go and daily meet the foe. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving fire. Hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me. Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, journey safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power. Hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me. Jesus, hold my hand. 123, number 123. thirsted in a barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain here is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you in the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Number 66. There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through
truly be a great day. Looking forward to the time when I'll get to go and be with the Lord. I was talking to Brother Jackson this morning before Sunday school started, and we were talking about a time, I don't know, 100 years or so back when men that had reached the age that him and I have reached now, a lot of them were dying at that age. And he spoke about having reached the age where you begin to realize that death is inevitable. But you know, that's all right if you know the Lord. I've got something that God put in my heart that dispels all fear of death. I don't have to worry about that. I know where I'm going. Paul said to live as Christ and to die as gain. And you know, when I leave this world, I'm not going to lose anything, but I'm going to make great gain. I'm thankful that I'm ready. If you're here today and you're not ready for that, you need to seek the Lord and get ready. Because the Bible tells me that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And there'll be no opportunities for salvation once death has overtaken you. It'll just be too late. So of all the preparations that people make for death, and people do, they make preparations for death. They prepare by writing wills and making sure they have life insurance and all these things. But listen, the spiritual preparation is the most important thing of all. Be ready to go. So I'm thankful today for salvation. I'm thankful to be with all of you here today. Thank God for blessing us and giving us the privilege to be in His house again. What a wonderful blessing that it is. We have many that are sick today and are not able to be with us, and we certainly want to remember them today as we go to the Lord in prayer. We might say a special prayer today for Sister Judy Nash. She was scheduled today to have surgery between 10:30 and 11. So she's probably either has just gone in or is about to. So let's remember her today as she goes into surgery. I'd like to make some announcements before we go to the Lord in prayer. Tonight's service at 6:15. I don't have anyone scheduled tonight to come and preach. So Lord willing, I'll be conducting the service again this evening. The Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, let's remember that. Brother J.P. Doss will be conducting the Wednesday night prayer meeting. The Wednesday night youth meeting that starts at 5:30, so let's be prayerful for that meeting. Also, I want to announce that there will be a wedding shower for Ashley and Philip Talbot on Friday, February the 3rd at 7 p.m. And Ashley is Brother Mike and Sister Kathy Wheat's daughter and the granddaughter of Deacon Dallas and Sister Nelda Wheat. So let's remember that. Again, that's Friday, February 3rd at 7 o'clock p.m. Let's remember Brother Ensley Wright in our prayers this morning. He's preaching at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Nashville. And remember Brother Moran also. He'll be preaching this morning at Buffalo Springs Missionary Baptist Church in Westmoreland, Tennessee. So let's remember these brethren. Brother Ralph Davison has an appointment this evening at Faith here in Bowling Green. So let's remember him also in our prayers. That's all the announcements that I have. Perhaps you have a request. Perhaps there's other announcements that need to be made, and anything that you have on your heart today, we want to give you the opportunity to let it be known before we have prayer. Anyone at all? Brother Buddy has an appointment. All right, let's remember Brother Lovell tonight, and he has an appointment at Freedom. Is that? Okay, all right. Let's remember that. All right, let's remember these requests today as we pray. All right, let's remember that. Someone else. All right, let's remember Sister Wright in our prayers. Someone else, something on your heart.
Brother Miller, I asked the church to pray for one of my boss's wife. His face is some pretty serious surgery. And I remember her in prayer, and I just like to thank the Lord for what I've already felt in my soul this morning.
Amen. Amen. And bless you, Brother Sanford. Amen. Let's remember this. Pardon? No, she just, I think, got some inflammatory problems. So she seems like she's doing better, and we appreciate your prayers. But amen, amen, amen. Let's remember this. Might ask prayer for a young, I'm sorry, did I cut somebody off? Amen. Let's remember this. I'd like to ask prayer for a young lady that was at the student union meeting Thursday evening. She's having surgery Tuesday at Greenview Hospital for her gallbladder. So remember her. I have a notepad that I've been carrying around. I'm meeting so many new people, and I've been writing down names when I hear something like this so that I won't forget their names, and I really wanted to announce that this morning, and then I forgot my notepad. So but you know, God knows her name, and you remember her today as you pray. God bless. All right, let's remember this. Anyone? I'm sorry. Let's remember this. Remember all these requests. Let's especially pray for the lost. Anyone else? All right, let's remember this. Let's remember this family. All hearts free. Amen. Amen. Remember this. Anyone else? If not, I'd like to ask Brother J.P. Doss, if he would, today to lead us as we pray.
Yeah.
you to stand with us and turn to number 14. Number 14. Shackled by a heavy burden, need the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me
As I listened to that song, I was reminded of an account that is recorded in the Gospel of John, I believe it's in the 9th chapter, about a man that was blind whom Jesus had healed. And the religious leaders, they began to accuse Jesus of all sorts of things, and they even told this man that had been healed that the one that had healed him was a sinner. And they were just saying all kinds of things to him. And the man that had been healed, he said, and I'll paraphrase this, but basically what he told him, he said, "Well, I don't know about all that. What I know is I was blind, and now I can see." And you know, I can't explain it all to you. There's just, when I was saved, there's parts I can't explain. I can't explain it all to you. But what I do know is I was lost, and now I'm not. And I'm glad that the Lord touched me. I'd like to share some scripture with you today, if you'd like to read along with me, from the 14th chapter of Judges. And I'm going to begin reading there with verse 1 and read the first six verses of that chapter. So Judges chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And that's reading verses 1 through 6 of Judges chapter 14 for a scripture lesson this morning. Last week, the Lord impressed my heart to speak on the power of love. And we certainly need love among us, don't we? And we certainly need that power that love offers to us. Love will hold a church together. Love will hold a family together. And we certainly need the power of love. And today, my heart is burdened to speak to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what I believe about it in the beginning here. And there's an old song, an old hymn that says it best. And in that hymn it says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And I'll tell you what, today without the presence of the Holy Spirit, regardless of whatever talent that there might be among us or regardless of anything else, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to accomplish anything here today that will be of any eternal value to anybody at all. I believe that all is vain without the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that in order to touch hearts when we sing, we must sing in the Spirit. I believe in order for preaching to be effective, it must be prompted and it must be used by the Holy Spirit of God in order to be effective in the hearts of people. And we need the Holy Spirit and we need that power. And I'd like to say something at this point about the Holy Spirit of God, and that is that we do not control the Holy Spirit of God. We don't control His coming and His going. If you look in the Gospel of John in chapter 3, verse 8, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus about the new birth, He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And we don't control the Spirit of God. And according to what Jesus said there, we don't know when He's going to come. And we don't know when He's going to go. We don't know when that He may show up. But I'll tell you what we do know, those of us that have been saved and know the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin, when he does come, we know who's there, don't we? When he shows up, we know him. And I'll tell you what, I prayed before this day came, I prayed that in this service that we might just have an awesome and wonderful visit from the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, friends, will enable us to do things that we normally cannot do. And let me tell you this, it is not talent that wins the day. It's not talent that wins the fight. It's not talent that wins over lost souls. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. We need him with us in our everyday lives. We need him with us in our church services. Those brethren here today that have been called by God to preach the gospel, they would certainly, I believe that every one of them here today would tell you that when they stand to declare the word of God, that their greatest desire is that the Holy Spirit would anoint them and be with them as they preach the word. The Sunday school teacher, as he teaches the lesson, needs the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to have his leadership and his guidance in order to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And so we don't win people based upon our knowledge. We don't win people based upon our talent. I'll tell you what, when we influence people is when the Spirit is with us, when we try to witness, and when we try to preach, and when we try to sing. But I'll tell you what, I love to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. As far as I can tell from the scriptures, the Holy Spirit has been in the world from the very beginning. If you look in the very opening verses of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You see, he was there in the very beginning of time. In the creation of all things, the Holy Spirit was there and he was actively working. And he's still doing that very same thing today. The Holy Spirit of God is still in the earth. The Bible tells me that when he speaks, that he doesn't even testify of himself, he testifies of Jesus. He represents Jesus. He represents God the Father. In the world today, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and he is that person that moves among us and that speaks to our heart and that makes us know that God is present with us. That's part of what he does. I began to get alarmed. I don't know about you, but I began to get alarmed when he's not with me. It's not a comfortable feeling for me. And I want to just share with you a little bit of a personal experience. Earlier this week, I felt a little bit like that. I just didn't feel God as close to me as I wanted to feel him. And I offered up a prayer to God that he would just be with me. Because you see, I'm of the opinion, I don't know how you all feel about yourselves, but I'm of the opinion that as far as the way I think about myself, that I'm going to make a mess of things if God doesn't guide me. And I don't feel comfortable unless I feel his presence. And so I begin to pray to the Lord. And I told you earlier that we just never know when God is going to show up. We never know when he's going to manifest himself. I've been in some services before in church where it just seemed like everybody just would rather go home. You ever experienced that? I mean, it just seemed like everybody would just rather go home or be somewhere else than they would be at church. And then all of a sudden that changes. Why? Because God showed up. We feel different about things then, don't we? I mean, when the Holy Spirit moves among us, suddenly things change, don't they? And so I begin to pray and I begin to ask God to just, be with me in my daily walk. And yesterday, I went out, I mean, of all things, I went out to the store to get food for my dog. I just went out to the store and I bought him some dog food, and I plugged in a CD there in my car and began to listen to some gospel music. And I mean, just out of nowhere, listen, friends, the wind does blow where it listeth. God shows up when he shows up. And suddenly there in my car, I came home and I told my wife, I said, "Why, me and the Lord, we just had a good revival there in my car." If people saw me driving down Scottsville Road, singing and crying and everything else, they probably would have thought I was crazy. But let me tell you something. That's something else that the Holy Spirit will do. Friends, when he's with you, you don't really care, do you? I mean, when God is with you, you don't really care. When the Holy Spirit of God moves in and takes over a church service, people will lose their dignity. They don't really care what people think about them, do they? That's when people begin to shout and they begin to praise and they begin to really worship, and you don't worry about what somebody's thinking about you. And we got too much dignity anyway. We need to lose some of it, don't we? But we need to lose it in the right way. Do you really believe that Samson, now he was a strong man, he was a powerful man, but do you really believe he was strong enough in himself to whip a lion? Nope. They're fierce beasts, aren't they? You know what they say about them? They say they're the king of the jungle. And this was a young lion. No doubt it was a strong lion. But this man, without any weapon in his hand, without anything to help him or assist him, with his bare hands, a young lion roared against him, and he was able to kill the lion. But you know, the Bible says, and this is the key to all of it, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Samson. And that was what enabled him to subdue the lion the way that he did. And friends, listen, you and I have a lion that's facing us. The Bible says that the devil, Peter wrote about this, and he said that the devil is our adversary, and that he is as a roaring lion, and he is going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. And I'll tell you what, friends, the devil would love to shut us down, wouldn't he? He doesn't like what we're doing here at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. He doesn't like it when people, teach people about Jesus Christ. He doesn't like it when men of God stand up and preach the gospel of salvation to people. The devil is against what we are doing here, and he would love to put it to a stop. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. The only chance that you and I have of standing against him, of standing against the wiles of the devil, is to have the Spirit of the Lord with us. Because we're not strong enough to subdue him by ourselves. You can read in Judges 6 and 34 where the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. You can read where the Spirit of the Lord was with David and was with Solomon, and all throughout the scriptures. You can read through the Old Testament and the New Testament where the Spirit of the Lord was with people. And every time that he was, he enabled them for the task that was ahead of them. You read about the army of Israel and their first conquest there in Canaan. When God was with them and he told them what to do, how that he told them to march around Jericho, for 6 days one time, and then on that seventh day to march around there seven times. And when they obeyed him and listened to what he did, the walls of Jericho came down and they were victorious in the taking of that city. Why? Because God was with them. And just shortly after that, because of Achan's sin, they had angered the Lord, and they went up against a very small army, the men of Ai, and they were defeated by the men of Ai. Why? Because God was not with them. And friends, listen, we've got to have God with us. It's imperative that we have the Holy Spirit with us, and we should anticipate him being with us. I'll tell you what, friends, when we assembled here in the house of God today, we should anticipate a great visit from the Holy Spirit of the Lord. We should expect him to be with us. I'm sure that you've heard it said that there's just not power in the churches. Well, you know what? I believe that, and I don't believe it. I don't believe it in this way. I do believe that the source of power is in the churches. But I also believe that many times we don't see it made manifest because of our own failures. And I said that we don't control the Spirit, and I want to clarify this before you today. We don't control when the Spirit comes and when he goes, and we don't. But let me tell you something. Many times, the way that the Holy Spirit will manifest his presence is based upon what he sees in us. You see, the Lord shows up when he sees things that please him. And when his people are pleasing to him, and when his people are obeying him, just like Israel did when they were, when they set out to take Jericho, when they obey the things that he says and do the things that he says, and he is with them. But, you know, when his people are not where he wants them, when they're not in the shape that he wants them to be in, then oftentimes God does not make himself known like he does in other times. It's really important what we do, isn't it? It's really important how we approach things. It's very important how we come to the house of the Lord. Very important. There are things that we need to accomplish here today. You know what? I don't believe that, and I pray that I'm right in this, I don't believe that any of you came today just to pass the time. I mean, we're here for a reason, aren't we? We're here for a reason. And there are things that we need to accomplish today. And to the best of my knowledge, there are people among us that are lost. And listen, every day that they live in this world lost and without God, friends, they're in grave danger. I mean, they're in awful shape. And sometimes, I believe I've said this within the last couple weeks, sometimes I believe that we may even lose sight of just how horrible that it is, that there are people that are near and dear to our hearts that are still lost and without God. Because listen, God is no respecter of persons. But we can't reach them, can we? I mean, we can't reach them. We don't have the ability in ourselves to reach them. But the Holy Spirit of God can reach them. I mean, friends, he can get down and work in the hearts of those that are lost, and he can reach them. And I want to say this today, if you're here and you're lost, and you've got that trouble down inside you. You've got that trouble down in your soul. You've got that power working and moving in your soul that's troubling you about your condition. Let me assure you of something today. It's not me that's doing that, and it's not anybody else here that's doing that. Nobody but God through the Holy Spirit can do that. I believe God does use human instrumentality. I believe he does use the agency of men and women to reach people. He does use his people to go out and to be a witness to him. And he does, and has instructed us in the things to teach and the things to uphold. But listen, friends, when we speak those words, the Holy Spirit of God has to plant them in the hearts of people. I want to share a situation with you. I'm sure you're real familiar with it. Recorded in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Silas had been imprisoned in Philippi, there in Macedonia, in the city of Philippi. And their feet were made fast. They were put into the inner prison. They were put in a dark, dismal place, put away into the inner part of the jail. And they fastened them there, in the stocks. And I mean, they just had these preachers incarcerated. They had them there to where they had immobilized them, and there wasn't much of anything that they could do physically. And there was a jailer there, and that poor man needed to be saved. And so the Bible tells me that about midnight, Paul and Silas, they begin to pray and they begin to sing praises unto God. Listen, you want the Holy Spirit of God to show up? Praise him. That's what they did. Praise the Lord. I mean, show forth praise to God. He loves that. And he'll show up when his people do it. And these men, they begin to pray and they begin to sing praises to God. And the Bible says that there was an earthquake. It shook the very foundation of the prison, and these men were set free. And the jailer, seeing what had happened, thinking that he had failed in his job of keeping the prisoners under confinement, drew a sword and was going to kill himself. But Paul said, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." And the man called for a light, and he came in, and he fell down trembling before the apostles, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Listen, friends, we need the Holy Spirit among us. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to move among us to the point where we don't have to try to coax somebody to try to visit the mourner's bench, or we don't have to try to coax somebody to seek the Lord. We need to pray down the Spirit of God upon the service to where it will affect the sinner to the point where they will come and they'll cry out, "What do I have to do to be saved?" That's what we need. I'll tell you something, friends, that I believe. I believe the church today can still pray down the power of God. I believe we can still do it today. And we need to pray, friends. I mean, we need to pray. We don't pray enough, do we? You know what? You can take offense to it. I want you to know I speak this in love today. You can take offense to it if you choose to. But I'm going to tell you what. As the people of God, we don't wait before God in prayer the way that we should. If we did, there'd be a difference among us. Friends, I'm telling you, when the people of God... you know, seriously wait before God in prayer. I mean, when we really turn our hearts to prayer and really seek the Lord, you won't hear people saying that there's no power among us. I mean, when the people of God truly pray, the power will be there and it'll be evident and it'll be obvious. We need to pray not only when we come to the house of God. Friends, we need to wreck prayer closets in our homes and wherever that we're at through the course of our day. We need to talk to God and we need to beg Him for the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. I've witnessed times in my life, and I know many of you have too. I've witnessed times in my life when it seemed like the church had gotten, you know, away from the Lord. It happens, doesn't it? It happens. It seemed like the church had gotten away from the Lord. People just weren't feeling the blessings of God on their lives the way that they wanted to. You know, we could come to church and there'd be people lost, or maybe even through the week, people we were trying to reach, and we just didn't seem to be effective in reaching them. And listen, and then the church really turns to God. I mean, really turns to God. And friends, listen, I'm not talking about a program prayer. I'm not talking about just the tradition of maybe bowing and saying a few words to God. I'm talking about prayer and what it really is. It's when we begin to truly pour our hearts out to the Lord. That's prayer. Isn't that what the Bible says in 1 Samuel? Isn't that what it says that Hannah did when she prayed? You read it. I believe you'll find that it says she poured her soul out to the Lord. That's what prayer is. And the church would begin to pray and turn to God in that way. And the next thing you know, that awesome, unusual spiritual power would return and be among them. And man, I mean, people would begin to get saved and seek the Lord. That's what we desire, isn't it? The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the church, before He left the world and went back to be with the Father, before His ascension, He said He had given them the commission, but He said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem and I want you to wait for the promise. And it wasn't very many days that passed until it came. But He said, I don't want you to go. They couldn't do it by themselves, could they? Jesus said, I don't want you to go. I want you to wait there in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And as they gathered there on that great and notable day of Pentecost that we read about in the scriptures, as they gathered there that day, the Bible says that the Spirit came upon them as a rushing mighty wind. Man, He's something, isn't He? He came up on the church there as a rushing mighty wind, and there were things happened there that day. There were Jews, devout Jews from every nation under heaven that were gathered there, and people heard the gospel in their own tongue. I mean, there were things that happened there that could have never happened without the presence of the Lord. But you know what Jesus told them? He said, you shall receive what? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Friends, we won't have power any other way, will we? We won't have power without it. We will have power through the Holy Ghost and no other way. But you look back just prior to that. Before that awesome Spirit fell. And listen, I'm not just talking about a little blessing here and there. Those are wonderful, aren't they? Those are wonderful. God blesses us in so many ways. But I'm talking about that unusual, extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit that falls upon His people when they really pray and trust the Lord. Did you know that God, the Bible tells me that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask? Anything that you've ever asked for in your life, any request that you've ever made in your life that God has answered, make no mistake, He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly against anything or more than anything than we have ever witnessed in our lives. God can do more. He can do more. Just prior to that day of Pentecost, there was 120 faithful people. Less probably than what there is here today. I'm not good at numbers. I'm not good at counting, but probably less than what there is here today. There was 120 faithful people that assembled themselves together in a room. And you know what the Bible says? It says they were in one accord. They weren't thinking about everything else out there in the world. They didn't have their minds, polluted with the things that were going on in the world. They were in one accord. They were considering spiritual matters. And they were praying. Friends, I'm telling you, you read the scriptures of the day of Pentecost. Again, when Paul and Silas were in prison and in many other places, you read the scriptures and you'll find many, many instances in the Bible where when the great power of God fell upon people, that there was prayer that preceded it. And these people were there and they were praying in one mind, in one accord. You know what they were doing? They were just doing exactly what Jesus told them. They were waiting for that promise. They were waiting for Him to deliver. They were waiting for the fulfillment. They were waiting for that great, awesome spiritual power that He had told them was going to come. They were waiting for it. And they were praying for it. And bless your heart, it came. It came. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has been with the church ever since. And friends, I'll tell you, I believe that He's still with us today. But what we see and what we feel will largely be based upon what we do as a people. There's not a battle that God can't help us to win. There's not a victory that God can't give us, but we'll never gain any of them if we go without Him. We'll never win the battle if we go without Him. We'll never gain the victory unless God is with us. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. His Holy Spirit must be with us, and He must lead us, and He must guide us. You know, the Bible teaches me in Paul's writing to the Romans, I believe in Romans chapter 8, the Bible teaches me that when I pray, I can't even pray effectively without the Holy Spirit. He is a divine intercessor when we pray. We have two divine intercessors when we pray. The Bible says that there is one God and that there is one mediator between men and God, the man Christ Jesus, and that's true. And he is our mediator and our divine intercessor when we pray. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit also makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Bible teaches me that without the Holy Spirit, we don't even really know what we need to ask. But boy, I'll tell you what, when the Holy Spirit's there, man, you can pray, can't you? You can pray and talk to God. The Holy Spirit enables us, friends, to do things that we just cannot normally do. And we need His power. And we need His presence in a great way. And I would to God that we would unite our hearts and that we would really pray for the power of God to come upon us. You know what I've said many times in my ministry, and I'm thankful, and I'm going to take a few minutes here to share this with you. I'm thankful to God for the way I grew up. I don't remember a time in my life when I wasn't exposed to the preaching of the truth. I was raised in an old-time Baptist church, missionary Baptist church. I don't remember ever a time in my life when I didn't go to it. I had a mother. My dad wasn't saved when we were younger. Thank God he got saved before he died. But my mother made sure that all six of us heard the truth. She made sure of it. And I'm thankful for that. And I've related many times my experience of growing up among a people. And friends, listen, it wasn't uncommon at all to go to church. When I was a lost person, they scared me to death. I'll tell you what, you didn't sit comfortably among those people like the lost are able to sit among us today. They're too comfortable among the people of God today. When I was a boy growing up, there were many times when I was so troubled that, sometimes to my detriment, rather than running towards the Lord, I ran out the back door just to get away. I did. I admit that today. I'd get back away from my mom, and those people were bothering me so bad that I'd sneak out the back door just to get away from them. A lot of times somebody come and get me, I didn't get away with it, But you know why? I mean, there was a power among them that I just couldn't deal with when I was lost. I couldn't handle it. And, people would come to me, thank God for every one of them. God bless their memory today. I remember some old sisters in those churches that they would come to me. I mean, God would stir their souls so much that they would come to me and they didn't care what I thought. They didn't care what anybody thought. They'd lay their head on my shoulder and tears would be streaming down their face and they'd get stuff all over my shirt and stuff. They didn't worry about it. Listen, all they cared about was my soul. And I mean, they would literally beg me and they would plead with me to seek the Lord and be saved. I mean, the Spirit of God moved them in that way. And through the years, there were fewer people in the churches that you heard shout. We may as well admit it, hadn't we? God already knows it. There were fewer people in the churches that you heard shout. Like I said, I suppose somewhere along the way that we got the idea that we ought to be a little bit more dignified than that. Friends, listen, I'll tell you what we need. We need to just lose ourselves in the Holy Spirit of God and give way to Him. Give way to Him. They get to shouting and hooping and hollering and praising the Lord, and it would make me shake as a lost boy to be among them. It would make me tremble to be among them. Oh, that it would return. And it will, and it can. Friends, listen, God's not left us. He's not left us. He's here. He's just waiting on us to really ask Him to make Himself known. God bless you. I'd like to have a verse of song, if somebody would lead a song. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I'm not asking that we do anything special. I'd just like to ask everybody to stand, if you would, and let's sing a verse or two of a hymn. May God bless us with His holy presence. If you're here today and you're lost, you need the Lord. You need the Lord. Let me tell you something. One more thing before we sing. And this is what I detest about the modern evangelism that you see in our world today. when a person gets saved, they don't need anybody but the Holy Spirit to let them know. He is able to let you know whether you've been saved or not. He's able to let you know when you're lost. And he's able to let you know when you're saved. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a counselor. You don't need anybody but God to tell you whether or not you've been saved. And people that pretend to be able to do that, and I'll just be honest with you, I don't have any, I don't care for it at all. I detest it because they're trying to play Holy Spirit. And men can't do that. The witness of the Spirit. The Spirit, Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's sufficient to do his work. And if you're here today and you're lost, you sure do need him. Go ahead, brother.
Number four. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the Spirit of the Lord. There's a sweet expression on each face, and I know the presence of
presence of the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing like him, is there? Appreciate your attention today. Anybody have a word before we dismiss? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sorry, brother.
Let's try the second one. I always mess this song up. We'll get Brother Strode to do it.
There are blessings you cannot receive till you know him in his fullness and believe. You're the one to profit when you say, Jesus, all the way. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us.
us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. If you say he saved you from your sin, now you're weak, you're bound and cannot enter in. If you will yield, you'll enjoy the Holy Spirit that we feel.